This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Now, you are in a state of ihram. These are the things that you need to avoid. The first one is wearing sewn garment. This is for men, lubsul nakhid. And this is the thing that is mostly misunderstood. Because you look at the towel, is it sewn or no?
Yeah.
It is actually, but the difference is what? It is not on the shape of your body. You are wrapping it. So even this, if I take it off and I wrap it, that's acceptable also. And it doesn't have to be white. But there is a wisdom behind it. You are wrapping yourself. You remember that this is what you are doing now willingly. When you die, this will be done to you. So you remember that when you are. And subhanAllah, many reminders during Hajj. You see the crowds, and that's nothing compared to the day of resurrection. And when we are resurrected, we are not even with those clothes. We are only with our deeds, that's all. So you are complaining about the crowd. Remember the crowd on the day of resurrection. So you take off everything that's for men, and you put on only the two towels, lower and upper. One tip, especially for men, when you want to put the towel, make sure that you open your legs as wide as possible. Why? You're not wearing nothing. So when you wrap it and you walk, especially for people who are a little bit fat, a few hours later, you can barely walk. You can barely walk. That's why many of them put creams earlier. And that's also permissible, because they are not from the things that are prohibited. Some people, what do? They said, we cannot. They have to wear some shorts. That's a violation of ihram. So they do it and they pay the kafara. For any of those violations, there is kafara. I'll talk about it. But for men, you cannot wear this. For women, of course, they have to cover their head. But for men, you cannot cover your head. You cannot wear normal clothes. Only what is wrapped around your body. And that's why I say some people, they put buttons and clips on there. And this is, it's becoming just like this. So it's becoming almost haram, because you are violating the ihram. It needs to be wrapped on. Now, one clip, that's okay. But I saw some people with three buttons. And then with that also, so what's the difference now between a jacket and the ihram that you are wearing? Covering the head for men, you cannot cover your head. And for women, they cannot cover their face. That's in general. There is also some opinions. Some scholars say, no, for women, there is an exception. If there are men, well, since when there was no men in Hajj, it's obvious. So,
what about using a kind of money belt or belt to
yes.
keep the lower part?
Good question. Using belt, wearing watch or a ring, all that is permissible. Why? You're not covering an entire body member, like a hand. Gloves, you're not allowed to wear gloves. Or socks that are above the ankle. But wearing a belt, it's not actually covering an entire organ. It's just around your waist. That's permissible. Same thing with the watch, same thing with the ring.
Sunglasses.
Same thing with sunglasses. Now, you're not allowed to cover your head or your face, but sunglasses are okay. Shaving the head, yes.
Knee guards.
For men or women?
For men.
For men, yes. Do they need to do it or no?
Some people say it's better to use bandage.
Yeah, I would say the same. When you wrap it around, it's better. Shaving the head. Once you are in the state of ihram, You don't shave your head. Or clip your nails. You do that before the ihram. Or wear perfume. Also, you do that before ihram. The sunnah is to wear perfume before you are in the state of ihram. So you start the ihram with the perfume on, that's fine. But not after ihram. And the Prophet used to wear perfume before ihram. Aisha said, طَيَّبْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, I put on the Prophet the perfume for his ihram, لِحْرَامِهِ حِنَا أَحْرَمُ وَلِحِلِّهِ حِنَا أَحْرَمُ, and when he terminated his ihram. Hunting, and this is something, I mean, we don't even have time for this, but at their time, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَقْتُلُوا الصَّيْدَ وَأَنْتُمْ حُرُمٌ, all you who believe, do not hunt the animals when you are in the state of ihram. That's in Surah Al-Ma'idah. Involving in marriage contract, whether you are getting married or you are a witness or you are the contractor who is writing, because in ihram you are going there for the ibadah. Marriage is after or before, not during the state of ihram. Also, in being engaged in any sexual activity, that's also a violation of ihram. Now, in most Hajj groups, they separate men and women, so you don't even have to worry about this. But in some Hajj groups, they give you the option to have a shared room only for you, you and your wife. So if you are in the state of ihram, you have to be careful. Now, once you perform tamattu', that's okay, you can do whatever you want. But if you are in the state of ihram and you are alone, ihram, just like fasting, when you are fasting, how you want to avoid the desire, the same thing with the state of ihram. Most these conditions are derived from the Quran, from Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayah 196. Where Allah Azza wa Jal said, وَأَتِمُّوا الْحَجَّ وَالْعُمْرَةَ لِلَّهِ فَإِنْ أُحْصِرْتُمْ فَمَسْتَيْسَرٌ مِنَ الْهَدْيِ وَلَا تَحْلِقُوا رُؤُوسَكُمْ حَتَّى يَبْلُغَ الْهَدْيُ مَحِلَّهُ. This is what Allah says. And do not shave your heads until the sacrificial animal has reached its place of slaughter. This means on the day of Eid. When you already finished and you started sacrificing the animals, that's when you shave your heads. And whoever among you is ill or has an ailment of the head, that's the exception. Now, what if you have an excuse? You either have an excuse or you don't have an excuse. Both are liable for the kafara. The difference is, when you have an excuse, you're not blameworthy. But you don't have an excuse why you did it. Someone, like this happens, some people, they are in the state of ihram and then they forget. They wear perfume and then they remember. Or they didn't know that wearing perfume is not prohibited. They were told later. Or they shave their head after they already started ihram. They were told, you are now in the state of ihram, you cannot do that. But they say, no, we cannot wait. It will be a lot of days, we cannot wait, so we'll do it. They do it, they are liable for the kafara. What is the kafara? They can fast 3 days. Or feed 6 poor people, or slaughter a sheep. For any violation of the ihram, that's the kafara. We have different levels of violations. Violation of a wajib, like entering the place of miqat without ihram and doing ihram later, that's a violation. But there, only one option, you slaughter. Here, violation of the ihram, wearing perfume, shaving the head, wearing clothes. I told you, some people, they know that they are not supposed to wear underwear, but still they do it because it's difficult for them to walk without it. So they know that willingly they do it and they pay the kafara. What is the kafara? They either slaughter a sheep, or they feed 6 poor people, or they fast 3 days. Where is that from? That's from the ayah. It's right here. Yeah.
Can
about some hair loss due to scratching, like mindfully, something like that?
I'm sorry, what?
Hair loss.
Hair loss.
Hair loss due to scratching, I know.
This is expected. Naturally, we shed hair. We shed from naturally. Now, the muhrim, when you are in the state of ihram, are you allowed to take a shower or no? You are allowed. Again, naturally, will there be some hair falling?
Yes.
Definitely. What did scholars say? There is no mentioning of the Prophet. This is almost unanimous consensus that this is forgiven. Same thing, scratching, you scratch and then you notice there are 2-3 hairs. That's forgiven. Now, you shouldn't do that frequently, but when you need, because here you didn't remove your hair. You scratched your head, and as a consequence of your scratching, some hairs fell. That's okay. Same thing, you were catching something, and the fingernail was broken. So you didn't do it, it was removed, you are not liable for kafara, because you didn't do it. It just happened. Okay. The second part of the ayah talks about tamattu'. فَمَنْ تَمَتَّعَ, whoever performs umrah. فَمَنْ تَمَتَّعَ, that's the exact term. فَمَنْ تَمَتَّعَ, that's why it's called حَجُّ التَّمَتُّعَ. فَمَا اسْتَيْسَرَ مِنَ الْهَدِي, what can be obtained with ease from sacrificial animals. You sacrifice. Now, what if you realize that you are short on money? You cannot pay any extra money. You just had enough money to pay for the Hajj, the package. You did tamattu', all the transportation is covered, all the food is covered, you're not going anywhere, you cannot afford paying extra 500 riyals. What's the solution? You can alternatively fast 10 days. 3 days when you are there, and 7 days when you go back.
The 3 days, is it during your ihram or before Hajj? When is the period?
As long as you are there.
Even after you finish Hajj?
As long as you are there in Makkah.
Okay.
You have to stay in Makkah.
Well, Makkah or around Makkah, like if you are in Aziziya, you didn't come back to your place. When you are there, you fast 3 days. You come back, you fast 7 days, and those are 10 days. This is actually what we used to do when we were students. We went from Medina to Mecca, and the entire Hajj cost us 300 riyals, because we went by bus, very cheap, from Medina to Mecca, and we walked everywhere. We didn't take any transportation, and we slept on the road. So to add to that, it cost 100% for only the sacrificial animal we didn't have. So what did we do? We fasted. We fasted 3 days there, and we went back, we fasted 7 days. That's also an option. And it is from the ayah. So, this is now the ihram. Next comes the tawaf. Let's take a short break. We'll take 5 minutes break and we'll continue. Bismillah. So, continuing inshallah, after you perform the ihram, and once you arrive at Mecca, now you perform the tawaf. For most people, they are coming from where? As we said, from Jeddah. And for some others, they are coming from Medina. There is very little time for one ibadah. That is only at that time, which is the talbiyah. Because once you start the ihram, you begin the talbiyah. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. Labbaik la sharika laka labbaik. Inna alhamda wa ni'mata laka wal mulk la sharika laka. The time that you have to say this is only then. Now you say it, it's not the time for this ibadah. Just like Allah Azza wa Jal had times for ibadat during the night, during the day. Also, there are ibadat during certain days. So, unfortunately, what I noticed from most people, they are heedless of this ibadat. Talbiyah. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. You now started the ihram. So you remember, again, as I told you, that we will be one day not having the option of doing this. It will be done to us when we are buried. We will be shrouded and we will be buried. Now you have the option, and that's why you chose to go there. Because labbaik in Arabic, actually labbaik means, oh Allah, I'm responding to you. Talbiyah in Arabic has two meanings. One of them is to respond. When someone calls you, Muhammad, Ahmed, and you hear your name and you say labbaik, meaning here I am, I'm responding to you. That's one meaning. Talbiyah also means commitment. Oh Allah, I am committed to your ibadah, to your obedience. So, the only time you have for this is when you are performing ihram. How long will that be? If you're going to perform Umrah from Jeddah, maybe a few hours only. So make sure you say the talbiyah as much as possible. It's sad that some people, unfortunately, they rarely say it. Maybe once or twice, and that's it. Why? Where are we going to stay? What time is the lunch? What time? Forget about that. You can be worried about that year long. Now, it's time for ibadah. So make sure you take advantage of this. The companions of the Prophet ﷺ, their voices would be gone shortly after they crossed the miqat. Why? Because of excitement, because of saying the talbiyah high and loud. So, please don't be like the rest of people when they are busy discussing what are they going to have for lunch, what time the bus is going to arrive. Because when you land in Jeddah, it will be most likely chaotic. So you will wait from 6 to 8 hours on average. During that time, you are in the state of ihram. So keep saying the talbiyah. See how many times can you say it. Would you be able to hit 1,000 times or 10,000 times, depending. So don't let 1 second pass without saying the talbiyah. Because soon after, once you finish, it's done. You come back here, it doesn't make sense to say labbaik Allahumma labbaik. That is the time. So you started the ihram, you say the talbiyah.
How long should it be?
For men, you make it loud. For women, you can only let yourself hear it, labbaik Allahumma labbaik. Or even if you don't say it like that, like labbaik Allahumma labbaik, that's what I'm saying. You can say it. Even if it's not audible, you're moving your lips, but you can make it also audible. So the companions, they lost their voices, which means it was very high. And the point really is to reflect on what you are saying. Oh Allah, I'm responding to you. Are you? Was the money that you came with to this Hajj halal? Did you do injustice to someone before you come? When you are saying labbaik Allahumma labbaik, labbaik la sharika laka labbaik, will you really be committed to the obedience of Allah Azza wa Jal? Since you have come for Hajj and you paid all that money, will you be continuing this or only for Hajj? So you have the title Hajji, and then after that, it doesn't matter whatever you do. So remember that. There is only very short time for this. And the winner, the lucky, is the one that takes advantage of this. I saw people, subhanAllah, wallahi, I look at them and I say, it's almost like deliberately, the shaitan is making them remember these things. What is for lunch? What is this? No. He took 2 cups of water. I took only 1. And you keep arguing about things that are irrelevant. So, you arrive now. And it is time for tawaf. If you are going for Ifrad, you don't have to do tawaf, but most people do it because it is sunnah. If you're going for tamattu, you have to do tawaf. This is part of the Umrah. It is a pillar. So the condition is what? You begin from the black stone. And this is obvious. Now, they did something good. where actually the entrance for people who want to do tawaf is only one. It used to be from anywhere and you go against traffic. Now it's only one entrance. You want to pray, you can enter from anywhere. But for the tawaf, they will lead you. There is a green mark, green light, so you know that this is the area of the tawaf.
So, when you start.
Yes. Once you begin the tawaf, it can resume again when you start the Hajj on the 8th. So, you put the house on your left side in the tawaf. And this is counterclockwise, 7 times. And the condition is you have to be on the state of purity. You have to have wudu. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, "At-tawaf wal bayti salah." When you're doing tawaf, it is as if you are praying. You cannot pray without wudu. So the same thing. You need wudu for tawaf. What about women? Let's say some women who cannot have wudu. They are in their period. So they wait. Especially if it's Hajj tamattu, there are a few days they can wait. And then they do the tawaf. That's the time when you arrive and you start the tawaf, that's the time when you show your shoulder for men, not before. So you show your shoulder, you start the tawaf, it's recommended for men with that to jog for the first 3 rounds. Again, this is, it only started because of what the people of Quraysh said about the Muslims, that the fever of Yathrib, of Medina, weakened them. So the Prophet ﷺ wanted the companions to show their strength. So they would jog. Now, chances are this is not even possible because it will be crowded enough, you can barely walk. But if you could, why not? For men. 3 rounds jogging and 4 rounds walking. So a total of 7. If you can touch the Yemeni corner, which is the corner before the black stone, you do it. However, now you are in the state of Ihram. And most corners are scented with perfume. So you avoid that just because of this.
Just expose the shoulder.
Yeah.
In a particular right shoulder, left shoulder,
both. Right shoulder. Just the right shoulder. As you saw in the picture. You expose that before you start the power. And when you are there, you will see everyone doing it. So you will not have the problem. No one will, maybe there is, but it's the right sunnah.
But it's sunnah also.
It is sunnah. Sunnah, when you start the tawaf.
So if someone forgets.
There is nothing. Actually, don't worry, because there are people, they will tell you, they tell you, expose your right shoulder. Even if you didn't do it, it's just sunnah. Because some people, because of the traffic, the entire upper garment will be dropped. Kissing the black stone, again, if you can. And some people, all what they want from Hajj is to kiss the black stone. So they go back and they say, we kiss the black stone. If you can, no problem. But chances are, it is very difficult. And you don't do haram just to be able to practice sunnah. What is the haram? Shoving people, pushing them, and hurting them just to be able to kiss the black stone. It's very crowded. Now there is one way we used to do it. You choose the time before the Adhan. And you wait behind the black stone at the side of the Yemeni corner. When the Adhan is called, the police, what will they do? They will separate people. They will leave only the ones who are waiting. So one by one, their turn will come until the Iqamah. So, more than 90% of the time this works. You do it without any pushing, anything, provided that you were able to stand at that area before the Adhan. So if you happen to be there during the Tawaf, for women, they specify some time. During Hajj, it's less, but other than Hajj, they keep all the men aside and they let women come and they can do it also. Sometimes actually women push more than men. So you need to be careful. So if you can kiss the black stone, you can. You cannot, then you touch it. And chances are, if you cannot kiss it, you cannot also touch it. So what do? You just wave one time. That's it. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that the black stone will testify for you. Some people, they stand and they keep waving three times, and some of them actually in the past, they used even to pray. And imagine, once you cross, it's empty. But before, people are waiting and they are pushing. So try not to stop. Just millisecond. You wave and you keep going. First time, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar. Then you just say Allahu Akbar and that's it. Takbir, when you start the tawaf. You don't go from inside Hijr Ismail. And actually you don't have to worry about that because they will not let you do it anyways because it will be closed during the tawaf. Why? Because Hijr Ismail is part of the Kaaba. The Kaaba at the time of Ibrahim alayhi salam is not what we see. It used to be semi-circle from that side. But Quraysh, when they wanted to rebuild the Kaaba, they didn't have enough money to build it that way. So they built it the way we see it. Sunnah, after you finish the tawaf, to perform to rak'ah behind the station of Ibrahim, Maqam Ibrahim. Again, this is what? Sunnah. You couldn't do it? That's fine. You can do it, but not behind Maqam Ismail, Maqam Ibrahim, that's fine. You can do it anyway. It is sunnah to pray to rak'ah. Later on, after you finish the tawaf and the sa'i, and you are staying there for, let's say, 10 days, it is sunnah whenever you are there to do tawaf. With your clothes. You are not in ihram, you're not, but you are doing tawaf. So every 7 times, you can do 2 rak'ah. You can do more than 1 7 rounds, like 2 or 3, you can do them all and then pray one prayer to rak'ah. That's also sunnah. It doesn't have to be always, but the sunnah is to pray 2 rak'ah after the tawaf. So this is the shape of the Kaaba. This is the black stone. That's where you stand. Here. You point to the black stone and you keep your left shoulder and you turn. Counter. This is Hijr Ismail. So if somebody went from inside, that doesn't count because tawaf has to be outside the Kaaba, not inside. And this part is considered inside the Kaaba. So when people say, I want to pray inside the Kaaba, actually if you pray here, you are considered praying inside the Kaaba. That's why during Fard prayer, they close this. Because you cannot pray the Fard inside the Kaaba. The Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, he only prayed once inside, and it was optional prayer, not Fard. So even if you are praying, and you face this direction, you're not facing the Kaaba, you face this direction, that's permissible. But usually, because they have lines, so usually you just follow the line that you see and you pray according to the direction of the Kaaba. So this is the black stone, that's where you start, and you do the tawaf. Now, when you are there, especially when it's crowded, try to be a little bit far. Why? Because the closer you are, the more difficult it is. People, you'll be pushed more. And the further you go, it will take more time, but you are doing it comfortably. You don't have to worry about being away from people, somebody pushing you. No, you are focused only on doing the tawaf and praying to Allah Azza wa Jalla. So that's better. If you had the chance, try to do it also from the third floor. It's far, but also many times it's empty. What we used to do, we actually tried to do it from all the places. We did it once here, we did it once up, whenever you can. So you do the tawaf 7 times. This is the Yemeni corner. The sunnah is to touch it. And the Prophet ﷺ said, touching it will wipe the sins as the wind will drop the leaves of the tree. That's how the sins would fall. So this is the Yemeni corner. Rukn al-Yamani. Even for the first 3 rounds for men, when you are jogging, if you are able to, once you arrive here, you walk. You just walk. When you start, there are people, they have some booklets. And they read what is there. There isn't a specific dua. You are there in the most sacred place. You are following the footsteps of Ibrahim alayhi salam, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam, all the companions, all the righteous people. There is a hadith that says that there is no messenger except that he did tawaf. You are there, what do you want from Allah azza wa jalla? You ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There isn't something specific. The only thing, when you are here, between here and here, it was recommended to say, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنًا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنًا وَكِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. That's the only specific thing, from here to here. But that's it. Other than that, you say whatever you want. This is Maqam Ibrahim. So you pray here if you can. Many times people are just standing, they're not doing anything, and they're not letting anyone do anything. So you go a little bit back if you can. You cannot, you try on this side. You cannot anywhere, you pray to Rakat.
Is the power of the seven hands can be broken, but after three or four rounds I may have the state of wudu or something requirement, so we go out and come back.
For a reason, for an excuse, yes. For no excuse, no, you cannot. You cannot break the tawaf. Because remember, it is a prayer. If you are in prayer, can you break the prayer? No. But if you needed to go to the bathroom, actually you can come back and continue. It's permissible. The same thing here. You needed to perform wudu, or it was time for prayer. Yeah. Other than that, you cannot break the tawaf. That's why, again, this is good, because some people, they arrive tired after a long flight and a long waiting in the air at the airport, and then until they assign them the room, they are exhausted. And then immediately they go, some of them prefer to sleep, they wake up strong and fresh, and then they go for the tawaf. That's better, actually, if you can do that. In the past, that's what they had. And alhamdulillah, over 10 years ago, they removed this. Because again, this is where most people stand. And they would keep waving, they would keep saying dhikr while they are standing. They wouldn't move. So the area here is empty, and here it is no movement. And people are just pushing. So alhamdulillah, finally, they removed that. What you have, way in the back here, way in the back, you have only a green mark, neon light, that this is parallel. So from that side you can do, you can start the tawaf.
Is there any way to remember how many rounds you have?
Good. Again, it's some people, they have a hard time knowing which round is it. If it's only three rounds or four rounds, that's easy. But seven, you may forget. True. Now, if it's not crowded, it's not difficult. Why? Because if you did the jogging three times, you can remove that and you start counting only four. One way is actually to diversify your dhikr. Like one round for dua from the Quran. One round from certain dhikr, only la ilaha illallah. One round only salah on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One round dua for people who you know. So that's also one way. The other way is just to put on your fingers or a marker. Once you finish one, you finish two, you finish three. So that's another way.
Sometimes I heard the round can take hour. This one round is so crowded.
Sometimes. Yes, sometimes.
Big family, yeah, it's family together, it's also
yes, with family it will be difficult. So if, especially if it's crowded, that's why to me here the distance is not that far, but the time will be longer. So my preference, I will go to the second floor or the third floor, because it's easier. I could do tawaf. It will take longer, but I'm comfortable with this because not a lot of people. There are many suggestions. Actually, there is an independent institute for the studies of Hajj and Umrah, for the suggestions of people. What can they help with easing the rituals, performance of the rituals? And this is one suggestion. You go up with escalator and then you slide down 7 times and you get it done. Or they suggested moving floor. You stand, you don't do anything, but the floor itself is moving around you. So there are, believe me, you will be amazed at the, because they receive suggestions from all over the world, Muslims around the world. Each one is trying to, but the ones that are approved, very little. And usually this only happens after a tragedy. When something difficult happens, like the fire. Many long time ago, they suggested the waterproof, the fireproof tents. But that only happened when the fire was there in Mina. So, you finish the tawaf, where do you go now? For the sa'i. Sa'i is a pillar, just like the tawaf. Even though some people may think it's just a sunnah, because Allah Azza wa Jalla said, there is no blame on him who walked between them. Inna Safa wa Marwa min sha'a'ir Allah. Indeed, Safa and Marwa, they are from the symbols of Allah. فَمَنْ حَجَّ الْبَيْتَ أَوْ يَعْتَمَرْ, for him who performs Hajj or Umrah, فَلَا جُنَحَ عَلَيْهِ. لَا جُنَحَ عَلَيْهِ in Arabic means what? There is no blame on him. So when you say there is no blame, meaning it's okay to do it. And that means maybe also it's okay not to do it. But actually, the correct opinion is that it is a pillar. Then why Allah Azza wa Jalla said there is no blame? Because before Islam, now we see it flat, but before Islam it used to be a valley. You're going from one mountain to another mountain, from one hill to another hill. On top of both, there were idols. So actually, their ibadah, which was supposed to be commemorating what Hagar, peace be upon her, did for Ismail when she was looking for water, it became idol worship, because they start from one idol and they end with another idol. Islam came, the idols were removed, but the companions were not sure whether they can do it or not, whether it would be considered continuation of that practice or not. So Allah Azza wa Jalla said, there is no blame. That's the only reason. But it is a pillar. And it can only be done after tawaf. So if you say, I can go on the day of Eid and I can do the sa'i and then I do the tawaf, no. That's why for those who are going for only Hajj, when they arrive Mecca, what do? They do the tawaf, which is not mandatory. But since they did that, they do the sa'i. So on the day of Eid, they don't have to do the sa'i again. They did it. They just do the tawaf, which is a pillar. But for those who are going for Umrah and Hajj, they have to do it both when, once they arrive and on the day of Eid. So, sa'i begins from As-Safa. And it is recommended to read the ayah, إِنَّ الصَّفَى وَالْمَرْوَةَ مِنْ شَعَائِرِ اللَّهِ. You read the ayah and then you say, أَبْدَأُ بِمَا بَدَأَ اللَّهُ بِهِ. I begin with what Allah Azza wa Jal began, which is As-Safa. So you go down walking, and then there are two marks also. There are two marks for men. They are recommended to run, because that's what Hajar did. Until you reach Al-Marwa. And this is one rank. So you begin with As-Safa, and where do you end? In Al-Marwa. 1, 2, 3, 4. Each one is one. That's why you begin with As-Safa and you end with Al-Marwa. If you ended in As-Safa and you said that's 7, then you made a mistake. You either did 6 or you did 8. And chances are you did only 6. Here it's easier to count because it takes longer time. It's roughly half kilometer. So actually, you would walk 3.5 kilometers. It takes time, especially if there is crowd. And it used to be like this, very narrow. Now, alhamdulillah, they widened it.
Also, multiple levels.
Multiple levels, yes. This is the designated place for people with wheelchairs. used to cheat and go inside because it would be empty. But once we find someone with wheelchair, we give them room because that's their way. So you start from As-Safa is here and Al-Marwa is there. You go one round and you come another round. And each one counts one round. Here is where Imam Ibn Hazm rahimahullah said both ways count as one round. So he said that you do it 14. Because he didn't go for Hajj, he didn't see it. So experience makes a difference. The difference between Sa'i and Tawaf is that Sa'i, you don't have to have purification. Unlike Tawaf. Why? Because As-Safa and Al-Marwa, they were not considered part of the house, part of the masjid. Now, they are adjacent. They are almost inside, actually. But still, the rooming is the same. You don't have to have wudu, you don't have to have purification for sa'i, unlike tawaf.
So, like, tawaf can be optional, like, without the ihram.
Which tawaf?
Sunnah tawaf.
Yeah, sunnah tawaf, it can.
Is it 2 minutes sa'i? Sa'i can be also like a sunnah sa'i.
Not really, not like tawaf. Yes, not like tawaf. Usually, now, some people say, I did tawaf as a sunnah. So I want also to do sa'i. No. Sa'i is particular to Umrah and Hajj.
And that's not a standalone sa'i or like tawaf.
No. That's why they say it has to be after tawaf. Again, what pious predecessors did, they used to do tawaf. Because sa'i itself is even outside. However, this is a good reminder. When you are performing sa'i, also, there isn't a specific dua. But remember, this is also a time where Allah Azza wa Jal could answer your dua. Just as Allah Azza wa Jal answered the dua of Hajar. She was walking 7 times, asking Allah, and because of that, Allah Azza wa Jal gave the water of Zamzam. Which is until now. So that's a place where you also ask Allah Azza wa Jal and Allah would respond to you when you are performing the sa'i. Some scholars recommended one specific dua, رَبِّ اغْفِرْ وَارْحَمْ وَتَجَاوَزْ عَمَّا تَعْلَمْ إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْأَعَزُّ الْأَكْرَمُ. It's recommended only. You can say whatever you want. رَبِّ اغْفِرْ وَارْحَمْ وَتَجَاوَزْ عَمَّا تَعْلَمْ إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْأَعَزُّ الْأَكْرَمُ. So, you did that, you finished the sa'i. Now your umrah is over. You shave your head, or cut it. Now, since you are going for hajj after a short time, there is no time for hajj to for the hair to grow. So the sunnah is to cut it, or even with the machine, not with the razor. Because with the machine, there will still be. So when you shave it with the razor, yeah, that's what we usually do. But if you take a few parts also, that's permissible. And with that, your ihram is over. Until when? Until the 8th of Dhul Hijjah. The 8th of Dhul Hijjah is called the day of Tarwiyah, Yawm al-Tarwiyah. Tarwiyah from Rawa, Yarwi. To narrate, to relate. And why is it called Yawm al-Tarwiyah? Before Islam, that was the day when they provide water for the pilgrims when they come. But even before that, at the time of Ibrahim alayhis salam, that's the time when he started relating to himself. Did I see the dream? Because it all started with what? With him seeing his dream slaughtering his son. So he started relating to himself. Tarwiyah, rawa, yarwi, to narrate, to relate. So, on that day, it's recommended to go to Mina. The ruling is what? It's only recommended. What does that mean? Because it is only recommended, actually most Hajj groups, they don't go. They don't go to Mina. It's just a lot of work. If you are alone, or you have the option to be alone, you can go there. But if you are committed to a group, you need to be with them, then it will be difficult. That's why on the 8th of Dhul Hijjah, most tents, most camps are empty. Because it's only Sunnah. That's the day, 8th. The 8th day of Dhul Hijjah. And when you arrive there in Mina, from your place, you start the Ihram. Let's say you are in Al-Aziziyah, or you are in Mecca, around the Kaaba. You declare the Hajj, the intention, you start the Ihram, and you go to Mina, in the state of Ihram. Now you started Hajj. You arrive there.
You make the Niyah of 8.
Yes. But, as I said, what if you are not going? The group is not going. You can stay in Mecca until the next day, which I will talk about next day. You arrive at Mina, you pray Dhuhr and Asr together. And Maghrib and Isha. Of course, Maghrib is not shortened, only Isha. This is the camp of Mina, or part of it. These are the new tents. All of them are fireproof now, after the fire that happened. What was the year? I forgot, maybe about 10 years ago. Because earlier they were asking to provide better tents, until the fire happened, and then they did that. You stay there, you sleep there. The next day is what? The 9th of Dhul Hijjah. That's the day of Arafah. The 9th of Dhul Hijjah. That's the day when you go to Arafah. And because Arafah is the pillar, most groups, they choose to go directly to Arafah. Whether from Aziziyah or from Mecca. Because Arafah is the last place. Distance-wise, it's the last place. You have Mecca, then you have Mina. Then you have Muzdalifah. And finally, Arafah. It's almost 9 kilometers. 4 kilometers Muzdalifah, then 2 kilometers Mina, and then Mecca. So that's why for some groups they say we go to Mina, and then we go from Mina to Arafah, and then no, we just go straight to Arafah. That's the 9th of the Hijjah. It is the pillar of Hajj. As the Prophet ﷺ said, Al-Hajju Arafah. So, if your group decided to go straight to Arafah, then on the 8th of the Hijjah, what did you do? You did nothing, just like the 7th of the Hijjah. You are praying regular prayer. You're not even in the state of Ihram, because it doesn't make sense. Why would you be in the state of Ihram if you're not going to Mina? If you could go alone, or you know, because one time that's what we did. Our group didn't want to go. We have, the camp is designated, it's there for us. So we asked them, because we were few, we were only men, we asked them, where is our camp? Tell us where is it, and we will go there. It was very difficult, it's not easy. That's why, especially if you have families, I advise, if the group is not going, don't go. It's just difficult. If you are alone, maybe, you can go. Because we had to walk uphill very far, very high, and since we had enough food and water for us, we were able to do it. But if you have a family, it will be difficult. So, they decided to stay in Mecca, in Aziziyah or around the Haram, you stay with them. On the day of Arafah, when they are going to Arafah, you declare the intention for Hajj. Labbaik Allahumma Hajjan. And you go to Arafah. And that's, the Prophet ﷺ said, the best day of the year. So imagine, what are you going to do on the best day of the year? You're going to spend it discussing the lunch, when is it going to be provided, the dinner. This is the day that the shaitan is most humiliated because of what he sees of the forgiveness of Allah on that day. So, you stay there until sunset. Now, because everybody is there, it's unlike before, you have the option to skip it. Everybody is there and everybody wants to leave at the same time. It's terrible. And therefore, many groups, they tell the people to get ready immediately after Asr. So 2 hours before Maghrib, they put everybody on the buses just to be able to go on time. So when you are there in Arafah, chances are you have, let's say roughly you arrived at 10 a.m. 10 a.m, 11 a.m, whatever it is, make sure that all the minutes or even the seconds are spent in the dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jalla. There is a hadith for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, khayru du'a du'a yawm Arafah. The best of du'a is the du'a on the day of Arafah. Wa khayru ma qult, and the best of what I said and what the prophets before me said, la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah lahul mulku wa lahul hamd wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. So see how many times can you say it. Because if the day of Arafah is there, and you are there, and you ask Allah, and still you are not forgiven, then when would you be forgiven? So make sure that you take advantage of this day. SubhanAllah, I noticed when we were there, that some people, again, as usual, busy, where are the meals, where are... And then I saw some workers, that they are hard workers. Their clothes are black, not white, black of the work. And nobody is paying attention to them. They are the cleaners of the groups. And right before Maghrib, when everybody is busy, wallahi, they are taking aside and they are praying to Allah Azza wa Jalla. I look at them and I say, those are the winners. Because when everybody is busy with the dunya, they are busy with the akhirah. So make sure you are within the boundaries of Arafah. That's another thing. This is the sunnah. You come to Arafah before Zawal, before Dhuhr time. And once you are there, you pray Dhuhr and Asr in advance, at the time of Dhuhr. Why? So you free this time all for what? For the dhikr. You don't have to be busy with wudu, with prayer. You are busy with dhikr, with the dua. That's the sunnah. You stay there until sunset.
Reach there before Zuhr time, you pray about. Even if you like 10 a.m. you reach,
yeah,
you have to pray Zuhr and Asr at times.
In advance, meaning in the time of Zuhr, once the time comes. Now, one time the group decided to go on the 8th, not on the 9th. On the 8th, they decided to go straight to Arafah, not to Mina. They didn't wait until the 9th. Why? Because the 9th will be crowded, it will be traffic. Everybody is going there? No, they decided to go on the 8th. So they told everyone to start the Ihram. The only difference, they are not going to Mina, where are they going? To Arafah. That's also possible. But this doesn't count. It counts on the day of Arafah, which is the 9th. So someone says, I spent enough hours and I'm going early. No, you have to wait until sunset. You cannot leave before sunset. You leave before sunset, what happens? Your Hajj is invalid. That's according to the majority. One opinion says, if you left before sunset, you did stay in Arafah, your Hajj is still valid, but you left a wajib, so you have to sacrifice. Now here, you don't have to worry because it's almost impossible to go alone. You have to be with the group. Now, if you went alone, chances are you will not meet with your group except on the day of Eid. Why? Because you are with them on this night. This night now is the night of the 10th. The next day will be the day of Eid. So where will be this night spent? It will be spent in Muzdalifah. You don't know where they are in Muzdalifah. So you miss them. Chances are you will miss them until they go back to where they were before going to Arafah. And again, if you are alone, my advice is actually to leave the group. If you are alone. But if you're not, then you are back to the group. Why? Some buses, they only arrive Muzdalifah, which is a walking distance of 1.5 hours, they only arrive Muzdalifah at sunrise. 9 hours. It took the bus 9 hours. Some of them actually couldn't make the way. They had to go to turn around. They went all the way to Al-Taif and came back, and still they didn't make it on time. So what we did, but again, that's only because we were many. We walked. We walked to Muzdalifah. We didn't worry. We slept on the street. We prayed subh, and then we went for the rituals of the day of Eid. But when you are with a group, you need to be with them. Before that, now, this is Arafah, that's how it looks. This is Masjid Namira. Now, here is one important thing. Masjid Namira is very big, and it's only used mainly on one day, which is the day of Arafah. Half of it is actually outside Arafah. So some people don't pay attention and they go outside. Now, it's okay as long as you go back. But if you stayed outside until sunset, then that's a violation. They usually have signs like this one, that this is the boundary. That's the border of Arafah. You don't cross it. Nihayat had Arafah. They light it either with yellow sign or with blue sign. So inside the masjid, there are no signs. I'm not sure now if they put signs or not. So from outside, you need to account for that. You know where you are if you went to the masjid. And usually, when you are with a group, you stay with the group. So they have their camp. They bring actually a speaker. He speaks. He makes the khutbah. And you pray Dhuhr and Asr together. He gives the reminder and you go. Now people, when they are alone or they have the ability to leave the camp for a few hours or a few minutes, they choose to go to Jabal al-Rahma. That's where the Prophet ﷺ was. But again, this is only sunnah. You don't have to be there. And chances are it will be crowded. A lot of people there, no space, and sometimes it's very far from your camp. Many people, they say, we will go and we will come back. We know how to come back, and they cannot come back. Usually traffic is not allowed during the day, only after sunset. So you are only walking. So anything wrong happens, you are on your own. So that's why be careful. Try to be with the group.
That's why the day of Arafah, the Zuhur and Asr will be prayed within your camp.
Yes.
If it's too far, then it's too far. What if it's a Juma day and you have to be?
Same thing. Because the speech is the speech. Whether it is Jum'ah or not Jum'ah, you are traveling. That's why Dhuhr and Asr, they are prayed in advance. And then the speech is given, and then the time for the dhikr and the dua. It's the same. Actually, that's what happened at the time of the Prophet ﷺ. It was on Friday. Arafah was on Friday. So it's the same. You pray Dhuhr and Asr in advance. And the speech, the khutbah was after. Any other questions? You finished. Now it is sunset. This is the ninth of the Hijjah. Where are you going now? The direction is to Muzdalifah, to spend the night there. Now it is already sunset, and chances are you will only arrive there later in the night, maybe 11 or 12 a.m. or even after. But if you arrived earlier, that's fine. But you will not arrive except at night. So now you need to pray Maghrib and Isha. So you pray Maghrib and Isha in Muzdalifah.